here for a little while. Children want to come at this time and get their snack. I'm assuming they're probably going to Sunday school. If the children want to come at this time. You guys want to take your teacher one? Okay, there you go. Take it to Christy, Sister Christiana Smith. We're going to Matthew today, Matthew chapter number 25. Brother Smith, can I get you to turn the fan on the furnace on for me? The fan on the furnace, if I get you to turn that on for me. Move a little bit of air through here. I don't want to get cold in here, but a little bit of air movement would be good. I'm going to be preaching something that God spoke to me, that I feel in the Holy Ghost that we need to talk about today. And that is, how many at times do you feel like you have just nothing to go on? It just feels like you're just out of energy. You're just out of go power. You're like a car that's running on one cylinder, and that cylinder's got a broken crank on it. It just can't go anymore. Well, I'm going to preach just for a little while on Matthew chapter number 25, starting at verse number 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish." Notice, it was 50-50. There wasn't a majority necessarily. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Notice, they all got comfortable. They all got busy. They all got doing things. But there came a point when at midnight, in verse number 6, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was what? It was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I want to preach just for a little while. If you got the text, you know what it is. Preach just for a little while on running on empty. Just a simple thought today, running on empty. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask you to give me wisdom, give me strength today to deliver what you put in my spirit. Help us to understand the need and the value, God, of digging in and having a little extra and not just getting just enough to get by. But today, God, we need you to impact our minds and our spirits to plug into you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you own a cell phone? Speaking of cell phones, I really should turn mine on vibrate. Amen. How many of you have made the mistake at times with that cell phone of using it all day long, way up into the night, or you're waiting on a phone call for somebody that may be in the hospital or that may be sick, so you leave the phone by your bed, and if you're like me, beside my bed there is a lamp, and then I have my alarm clock. Well, there's only 2 plug-ins in the wall there, so there's not a room for a phone charger. So most of the time I find this when my wife is at camp. I end up with my phone there beside the bed, and then I get up to go to work the next day, and I find about noon my phone doesn't have enough juice to get me through the day. The reason my phone didn't have enough juice was for a good cause. I was using it. I was talking to that beautiful lady that's on the other side that happened to take my name one day. And I was telling her how much I loved her before I went to sleep. And I dozed off probably like I did when we were dating and fell asleep while she was still trying to tell me something. And my phone was laying there. And unfortunately, it never got plugged up. But then during the day when I needed my phone the most to take the service call, to be able to communicate with the office, and when I needed it the most, I had to keep it plugged up to something to try to get enough juice to be able to make the communications that I needed to. And no doubt there's times maybe that you might miss a phone call, you might miss an important call because you didn't leave the phone plugged up all night. How many of you are like me? It's the family joke that I will have the tendency to instead of putting a full tank of gas, I'll put a quarter tank of gas in. And I'll run on a quarter tank, and when I need fuel, I'll stop and get some more fuel. And by the end of the week, you've used $30 worth of fuel, but you only put it in $10 at a time. Just nature, I guess. It's just you're not by the bank, or you don't carry a lot of cash on you, because we're almost a cashless society in today's world anymore. And it's one of those things that you don't keep on you, and then you realize you're halfway between the house and where you're going, and then it dawns on you there ain't no gas stations between here and there. And now you're at a decision point. Do I turn around and go back? Then I'm going to be late. Do I go forward and keep on going? Am I the only one that's ever done this? Do I keep on going? And then there's a chance that I might be walking, or hope that my phone's charged up, that I can call somebody, bring me a little fuel so I can get this vehicle to where it needs to be. We're in a society today that, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's gas, whether it's money, whether it's jobs, whatever it is, that everybody wants to live week to week, day to day. It's everything short term. Nobody thinks long term in today's society. Everybody deals with the moment. They take care of it at the time. And in our story here today, that is exactly where these the parable that Jesus was telling them was where these virgins were at. They all started with oil in their lamps. They all went with the intention of it happening quickly. And they all went with the intention of, I'll have the oil when he gets here and when it's time. And when the doors are open, I'll be able to go in. But the Bible said, unbeknownst to them, that the bridegroom tarried. The bridegroom didn't come, didn't open the doors when they expected. So they began to get sleepy, and the Bible said they slept and they slumbered, and they left their lamps running while they were sleeping just in case the bridegroom came, and while they were dozing, they could still get in. But there came a point when the sound arose, but somewhere between the calling of the bridegroom is coming and the point that they arrived and the point that they fell asleep, the Bible said that some of them's lamps didn't have enough oil to light anymore. The Bible said that they all trimmed the wicks. They all did what they needed to do. But sometime between the point that they were filled and the point that they were needed the most, something that once was there had now evaporated. When they needed it the most, it wasn't there, it was gone. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think in life, we go through life and we feel like God's never going to come back, and this job is the worst job I've ever had, and the family situations is everything that's going on, and the car don't work right, and I need a new car, but I really can't afford a new car right now, and the roof is going to be leaking here pretty soon, so I'm going to need a roof in the near future. And it just seems like thing after thing after thing after thing. But if you remember when you started that job and then there was money and you thought, man, this is good money. I've never made this much money in my life. It was good money at the start. But what happens, and this happens to everybody, don't feel like you're alone because we're human. Us humans do this. But the more money you make, the more money you what? The more money you spend. They all started with the same paycheck. These virgins all started with oil in their lamp. They started at the same place. But the difference between the five and the other five is some said, what if he tarries? What if I need some more? So I'm going to take a little extra in my pack just in case. Yes, those that started out that night had plenty of light. When they started it out, they thought, man, isn't that light burning bright? Isn't this a wonderful thing? Tonight's going to be the best night of our lives because we're going to go in to the bridegroom is going to come and we're all going to enter in. And this is the moment we've waited for. But somewhere along the line, things started to flicker and things started to dim. But the problem was they didn't notice it because they were asleep. Never really paid that much close attention to the fact that the Bible said that they slumbered and slept. Had they not been sleeping, they would have known they were running out of oil. Many of us, when we start our walk with God, we feel like, the best illustration that I can give you is Brother Jimmy Tony's favorite expression, and he said it yesterday in yesterday in our training session, he said, you feel like you can fight hell with a water pistol. You feel like you've got it all under control. You got the world by the tail and you're starting to run this race. And oftentimes we as individuals have this concept that we can do this. And we can take whatever it takes on our lives and we can handle this. And we walk out of the church when we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and we feel like, man, everybody needs to know this gospel. And we feel like dad's going to be saved and mom's going to be saved. And the neighbor's going to pray through to the Holy Ghost in just near future because I've got something that the world didn't give and the world can't take it away. And you feel like you're walking on air after a Sunday night service. And then you walk in on Monday and the daily grind of the work starts to take it away from you. And finally, by the time you get to Sunday, through my headaches and my back aches and sister, my knee aches, and if somebody can just drag me into church, I'll go. But I just don't know if I can make it on my own. And that's every single one of us, because the devil knocks on our door. He says, you feel that headache coming on? I don't know about you, but have you ever talked yourself into a sickness? Most of us have along the way. You can feel it coming on. But the key thing that we've got to remember in our walks with God is we've got to carry enough with us. We can't live off of Sunday night highs all through the week. Somewhere along the line, we've got to be plugging in. If we just go through life and it's Sunday to Sunday, Sunday to Sunday, Sunday to Sunday, eventually there's going to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the middle, and there's going to be too much on your plate, and you didn't pack enough to get you through the week, and the devil's going to knock on your door, and the devil's going to tempt you to stay in home the next week, and guess what? If you think it was hard to make it through 1 week, you ought to try two. And some of our elders that can't come, can I get an amen in the house? It's not easy. You get dry, you get weak, and you get weary, but somehow we've got to recognize it can't just be a Sunday relationship. It's got to be Monday. It's got to be Tuesday. I can't fall asleep on the job. It's very easy for us And maybe I'm the only one, and I'm being transparent here today, that you can go through Monday and busy, and Tuesday and busy, and Wednesday and busy. And yes, we come and have church on Wednesday, and that's a wonderful thing. And that's why we do that on Wednesday. It gives us a chance to be fed during the week. It gives us a chance to plug back in and stay connected with the body. Because when we're disconnected, there's something, it just drains us. It pulls it out of us. Life just has a way of just, I don't know, how many of you have ever siphoned something from one bucket to another? Hopefully you weren't siphoning fuel out of somebody's car to yours, but siphoning from one thing to another. Just the pure fact of drawing and putting it in something and into another that's sitting just a little bit lower. The thing that is lower, hear me out now, the thing that is lower will drain the thing that is higher. Because as it starts to pull, gravity begins to take over, and it will literally drain the entire other tank purely because of the elevation difference. I've got news for us, folks, here tonight. If we think that we can be around sin, and we can be around things in this world, and carnality at work, and carnality around the home, and have a garbage blaring on a TV or on a radio in our vehicle, and we can have that stuff and feeding on that stuff all week, I've got news for you. The lower is going to draw the higher, and eventually the higher is going to be empty, and we're going to look back and we're going to wonder, why am I having carnal thoughts? Why am I thinking things I shouldn't be thinking? It's for one simple reason. You were hanging around too much stuff that you shouldn't have been hanging around. You were connecting yourself, and I don't care how much you got in the tank. If you're feeding around those things, eventually it's going to drain your spirit, and you're going to feel lost, and you're going to sit in the house of God when you come into the house of God, and it's going to feel like your arms are 1,000 pounds apiece, and you can't lift your head up off the pew. Why? Because of condemnation, and the frustration of the world is going to wrap you up and tie you up and hold you down. All because you got comfortable and you started to slumber and you started to sleep instead of plugging into things that you needed to be plugging into. I got news for us, folks. If you think you're getting your spirituality and your connection with God from things from a television or movies, and I appreciate the positive things that they're starting to come out with, some in the media world that may be positive, but I got news for you. That still ain't like good old fashioned prayer. That still ain't like good old fashioned hallelujah, Holy Ghost. Even if you've got to get on YouTube and look up an apostolic preacher and say, I just need to be fed for a little bit on Tuesday morning, because I don't, while I'm having my cup of coffee, let me hear just a little bit of a message back in the spring or back in the fall that somebody preached, because I just need a refilling. You know what you're doing? You're preparing in case the bridegroom tarries. You're preparing in case pastor's sick on Sunday because you ain't got enough in the tank to make it 2 weeks. You're preparing just in case there's somebody sitting beside you in the next service that maybe can't lift their head up off the pew. Why? Because they've been plugging into something else. You may be the only one that says, you know what? I've got enough oil in my tank. Here, you can have a little bit of mine. Can I lift you up in the Holy Ghost just for a moment? There's three reasons people run out of fuel. There's those that run out by accident. They just didn't see the gauge. Thankfully, the new cars send all kind of alarms and dings and flashing lights and says, you're going to run out of fuel in 50 miles. And then it says in 20 miles, you are out of fuel. But the old cars didn't do that, did they? If you didn't watch that needle, you were going to be walking. And it's caught me a few times on accident. But then there are those that run out on purpose. You say, what do you mean? Who runs out of gas on purpose? That's the person that has ran as far as they can run, done all they can do. They ain't got no more money to put in the gas tank. And where the car quits, that's where they're going to start walking, because that's their life. You'd be amazed at how many people live in our world like that. We think everything is hunky-dory. But I got news for you. We're in a messed up world. We're in a world with people that don't have two nickels to rub together in their pocket. And they live one high to the next. And half the time they steal those. And that's how they get through life. And rest assured, it's a short life. And it's a life filled with misery. And it's a life filled with pain. You know, the person that ran out on purpose had came to the point where they didn't care. Did you catch that? When a person gets to the point that they don't care, they've reached the bottom of the barrel. They've done all they can do in life. They have no place else to go and nothing else to run on. And when it dies, it dies. Where I end up, I end up. I'll hitchhike and leave the car because I can't afford the insurance. I can't afford to have it towed back home. And I can't afford to put no fuel in it. So what do I got to lose? So they just leave their car and walk on down the road. You think that doesn't happen? It happens more than you think. But that kind of individual is the kind of individual that had opportunities in life just like everyone else had opportunities in life. But somewhere along the line, the devil convinced them that he had a better way. And they enjoyed, they slumbered, they slept, they did all of the things that they could do. But somewhere along the line, they gave up on life. That's the kind of individual that started with oil in their lamp and finally just figured the bridegroom ain't coming, I'm out of oil, and I ain't going in anyway, so why even bother anymore? And they walk out the door and don't even try to make an effort at that point. I hate to imagine the number of people around this society that live life like that. There's some of us the devil gets us by accident, and then there's some that the devil has tricked, and by their pure choices have gotten them into the mess that they're in because of the tricks of the devil. They chose to take that first drink. They chose to smoke the first joint or take the pills the first time. That was a choice that they made. But the problem was they never counted the cost of how much it was going to cost them. And then when the devil wrapped them up so tight that they couldn't get out, he leads them. The Bible tells us that the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And wrap them up into a world that they cannot escape. They can't get out of. As hard as they try, nothing can change in their world. I've got news for you. The God that I serve has the ability to take an empty vessel and make it a new vessel again. The God that I serve has the ability to go to the well when nobody else is at the well and change their perspective on life. The God that I serve has the ability that as long as there's breath in their body, He can take someone that was headed down that hopeless road and give them hope again. But the problem is we go through life pretending they don't exist. We turn going down the road and we look the other way. We go through life and said they'll always be a drunk. They'll always be a drug addict. But I've got news for you. If they've got a will, I've got a God. If they've got a want, I've got a God. If they've got a choice to live for God, I've got a God that's got every ounce of mercy, enough ability, and there's enough blood to change everything in their world. But then there's a third. And this is those that I call them, they live on the edge. They they put enough fuel in to get them to point A. Then they'll figure out how to get it at the next stop to have just enough to get to the next stop. Any of you ever done that? And I think this is the type of individuals that the Bible is talking about, those that are going to be caught by surprise. They know they're living both sides. They know they're weighing the balances and trying to live for God but live for the devil at the same time. Not they're not out there smoking dope. Don't get me wrong here. But it's just a little bit of gray area in their mind, a gray area in their world. And they show up for church on Sunday and everything looks right, but they try to balance two worlds at the same time. They want to enjoy the light, but yet they want to sleep at the same time. And they didn't bring enough just in case. So they kind of balance two worlds. And those are the ones that we've got to be careful. We've either got to be all in or all out. We've got to be either plugged in or not plugged at all. You see, the Bible says it would be better for us to have never known than to take the plow and turn back the other way. We would have better to have never even known the mercy of God than to take that mercy and squander it through the frivolous living that we often do, and look into the eyes of God and say, I know better, and look into the eyes of God and say, maybe tomorrow. And look into the eyes of God and say, maybe not right now, because I need to enjoy life just for a little bit. But somehow we've got to recognize the world is full of people out there that try to live two worlds. And somehow we've got to let them know that they don't have to live that way. Why take the risk of missing out on heaven and going to hell just because you wanted to enjoy life? I've got news for you. When you really live for God, when you put both feet in the kingdom of God, when you put your mind, heart, body, soul, strength into living for God, the devil has no capabilities. Why? Because you're plugged into a well that'll never run out of oil. It doesn't matter if he tarries 100 years, sister. It doesn't matter if the body hurts and the medicine don't work. I'm going to heaven and the devil can't stop me. Why? Because I've found a well. I've found a river of living water. I've found a source. I'm not just tapping into the source on Sunday night, but I have the Holy Ghost welling up inside of me every morning. I know what it is to have the joy of the Lord at noontime and at evening time. You see, Daniel knew what that was. Had Daniel lived off of once a week prayer, Daniel would have never been able to have probably done what he did. But Daniel knew, if I do what's right, I just keep praying, I've found favor for the kingdom. God's given me vision. As long as I keep doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing, the devil may kill me, but he won't destroy me. That's the kind of people I feel like I'm preaching to today, folks that have plugged into the Holy Ghost. My wife and I went to a coffee shop yesterday, and I think it was ordained of God that we actually went there, because it delayed us just long enough to make it to the hospital just before Sister Cooper got there. Otherwise, we would have been almost home, and it would have been nearly a 3-hour journey to get to her. But God, just happenstance, we went to a Zaxby's Chicken. I'll give them a shout out. Zaxby's Chicken, if you never had it, they're amazing. They're really good. We went to Zaxby's Chicken, and then some friends of ours that we were with had decided that they wanted to go show us this place called The Well. It is a nonprofit coffee shop that digs wells all over Africa, places that don't have pure water and clean water. So they have, I think, 2 or 3 coffee shops here in America. One of them is in Fishers, Indiana. And all the profits from the coffee that you buy at this coffee shop goes to dig wells in Africa. And there's pictures of wells. There's sayings on the wall of scriptures and different things. And it's a really, really neat place. to go. And as we were sitting in there, and as I knew what God had dealt on me for preaching, I thought, wow, this is just ordained by God. Because when you start talking about a well, you're talking about something that there's certain kinds of wells that are shallow wells. And then there's what they call a deep well. And there's some that you can pump, and there's some you got to prime. And wells are all different. But when you're talking about the well that we have tapped into, there is an abundant supply. When Jesus looked at the woman at the well and he says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you drink from this well, you'll never thirst again. I've got an abundant supply that'll just keep flowing and just keep flowing and just keep flowing. But did you know the conduit of that flowing is in your spirit, is in your body? And unless you're connected to the well, unless you're connected to the vein, there is going to be nothing to be able to flow from you into those around you. If you don't stay plugged in, if we run around on empty on a Sunday prayer and on a Wednesday prayer and think we're going to have enough to make it and feed those around us, I've got news for you. We're going to be sucked dry by the time we get back next Sunday. But I believe I'm preaching to a church that's found something. It's found a place that they can run into and they can hide. It's not just shallow waters, but it's waters that you can swim in. It's a river of living water. It's a place that you found refuge for your soul, a place that is a hiding place that the devil can't touch you. The devil may try, and he can stand out there and wave and say, hey, it looks so good over here, but there's a boundary line between you and him. And as long as you stay in that safe place called the church, as long as you find that place of hiding place in God, there's nothing the devil can do to you. Some people, that is foreign land. Some people, they can't imagine what it is to live like that. Those people are the ones that live on the edge. I'll take the risk and hope God doesn't come back tonight. But Sunday, I'll make it up. I don't believe that kind of relationship is the kind of relationship my Bible talks about that he wants to have with his children. He doesn't want a roller coaster relationship that you love me one week, you don't love me the next. You're nice to me one, you talk to me one week, next week you don't want nothing to do with me. Just an up and down relationship. No, he wants a consistent. That he gets up in the morning before God even wakes up. If God sleeps somehow somewhere out there, if before God even wakes up, there's a text message on his phone that says, "This is Brother Payne. God just want to let you know I love you a whole bunch." Before God even sits down for his lunch, there's Sister Smith. Hey, God, I know I talked to you this morning, but I had a little break in the action this afternoon. Want to let you know how good you've been to me. And you get before evening even comes. Now there's Sister Smith. Lord, I want to thank you for giving me wisdom today when that text came through and I didn't know how to reply, but you gave me the words to reply. I just want to say thank you, God. That is the kind of relationship God wants. He doesn't want the one that just picks it up and says delete, 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 delete. No, God, I don't have time for you right now. But he wants the one that says, you know what? That's God. I need to have a conversation. I've been waiting on that phone call. I think it doesn't matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter what's going on right now. As we were sitting at that table yesterday, I got the phone call that one of our saints probably wasn't going to make it at that time. I walked back into the table and thanked the Lord for one of the sisters from Indianapolis. As I sat down at the table, and she could tell I was concerned, and my wife says, it looks like she may not make it. Sister and the Lord sitting there in the restaurant, she said, do we need to pray right now? I said, yeah, I think we better pray right now. Sitting there in the restaurant, a table about 8 or 9 of us, as we began to go before the Lord and say, God, reach into that hospital right now. Guide the hands of the physician. That's what I'm talking about, a well that's deep. We don't need to find just a place to pray this, oh, I got to escape somewhere. No, when it's a God moment, it's a God moment. We don't have time to go try to dig up some Holy Ghost, but it better be there at an instant. The Bible says, and I don't believe it's just preachers, that we got to be instant in season, out of season, but we've got to have the Holy Ghost. flowing through us every moment of every day. We don't have time to find an altar of repentance to find the will of God. We better be living in the will of God. We don't have time to go prime the well. We better be surfing on the river of the Holy Ghost all the time, just waiting to see where the flow is going to take us. That's the kind of relationship I want with God. Let's all stand. But how often do we procrastinate and wait, hope, and think, make our own decision instead of trusting God? I have enough. Oh, I love the Lord. I just don't go to church. I go to church just not all the time. Well, I pray. I prayed over my food 3 times yesterday. How many of us? I prayed over my food 3 times yesterday. I fasted 1 time last year, but I do fast. As long as I believe in Jesus. How many's heard this? That's enough for me. That's somebody that wants to live on the edge. But I'm talking about somebody today that says, you know what? Just believing ain't enough. I need to find a river. I need to find a place to clean me up and wash my sins, purify my mind. Just to believe that God exists is not enough for me. I want a relationship. I don't want to know He exists. I want to know Him. And I want Him to know me. I want Him to look down and say, that's my child. I want to look up and say, that's my Father. I want that everlasting life. I want those moments with God that is a deep relationship. And it's stuff that I can draw off in my weak points and in my weak times. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed here today, I've come to tell someone in the Spirit, we can't afford to have just enough. The coming of God is too close. What if the bridegroom does tarry? What if your child backslides? What if your children never come to God? What if the neighbor rejects you? When it comes to our walk with God, we better live in the river. We better be a constant at the well of living water. We don't have time to lay down and sleep and hope God comes back. But we better be awake and watching for His appearing. I wonder how different the story might have been when the prophet went to the lady in the Old Testament and said, do you have any oil? And she said, I've got just enough. I've had a little on reserve, and I'm willing to give it to you. And she found something that just lasted and lasted and lasted. Why? Because she had something to give. So I wonder who today would either kneel at your pew or find a place at this altar. Spend a little time with God and say, God, I want to make sure that I have an abundant supply. God, it's been a while since I tapped into that river of living water. I need a washing. I need a refreshing. I need a renewing. I wonder how many would just take this opportunity and just spend some time in prayer. Can we do that as they play and sing here, either in your pew or at the altar? Let's just go to God in prayer for a little while in Jesus' name.